This is the sound of your barbecue before getting a motorized horsepower giddy-up grill cleaner.
Honey, are the burgers ready yet?
Ready? I'm still cleaning the grill off.
Oh, shit. Come on.
Okay, ordering a pizza.
And this...
Burger up!
...is the sound of your barbecue when you purchase the giddy-up grill cleaner. While the grill is cold, just press on and Giddy Up blasts away charred meats, sticky sauces, messy oils, and more. Giddy Up is the last grill cleaner you'll ever need with our dishwasher-safe motorized chain-link roller driven by a powerful high-torque motor, all backed by a lifetime warranty and money-back guarantee. You don't need another cheap grill brush that leaves bristles in your food and makes cooking outdoors a pain. Get your Giddy Up today. Go to buygiddyup.com to get your Giddy Up shipped free. But hurry. Inventory is limited. Order now while it's still in stock. Go to buygiddyup.com and get yours today with free shipping. That's buygiddyup.com.
This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor with Jeremy Zakas in New South Wales, my cricket teacher. I am learning the game of cricket. I am a senior figure. I've followed baseball my whole life, but suddenly I'm attracted to cricket because Australia apparently schooled England. That's the use that we have here in America. I don't know if they also have it in Australia. Schooled England in the Ashes contest, test. And when we last spoke, Jeremy was facing the day in which at the Melbourne cricket grounds, England had a chance to stop the wipeout of its team in Ashes for 2021. Jeremy sent me a message soon after we stopped speaking saying, Australia won, but I didn't get any of the details. So, Jeremy, how did Australia win? Was it more of that nasty game? Did they throw the ball so it hit the English player? Did they drag it out? What was the final method that Australia used to win overwhelmingly?
Well, John, we certainly did school the Brits, I guess you could say, and well and truly schooled them in earnest. What happened in the end was England needed to make 51 runs in just the last bit of the game, effectively to stay in the competition. 51 runs, and they had six batters to do it in. So for any test game, that's normally a pretty easy feat. But the reality was they didn't. They just couldn't do it. And what the key part was the Australian bowlers. Effectively, one of our main Australian bowlers called Scott Boland, who was making his test debut, got six of the British players out in rapid succession. So the Brits got up to the crease, got up to the bat. The ball came down, bang. They were out pretty much straight away. And the Brits, this is the most amazing part, they couldn't even get close to 51 to stay in the game. They only made 37 runs. So effectively for the entire series, Australia won 185 runs to the UK, 153. So in reality, the Brits were not even close to staying in the game. And well, I'd like to say it's so great to actually have won the Ashes series, to have done it in this way where effectively the Brits didn't feel like they turned up. It felt like they couldn't even hit our bowls. And to be honest, John, I mean, our bowlers, while they're fantastic and they're able to really get the ball down the line quite nicely, what they did was effectively nothing sensationally different. It's just the British, for whatever reason, they just weren't there.
Yes, the puzzle here. You told me that the last test, this made it 3-0, therefore... Mm-hmm. There are going to be two more games, right? Yes. But England can hope to come back, and this will make the third consecutive test Australia victory. So an overwhelming victory, a wipeout, we would say a sweep in our language. You told me that England had a very, very easy challenge to score that many runs. Now, I watched a little of the bowlers. Were the bowlers knocking the pin? Is that how they were getting them out, or were the Australian team catching the ball when it came off the bat?
Well, it was a mixture of both. They were effectively getting them out by stumps, which is when the ball goes past the batsman and actually hits the stumps and knocks the wickets over. So the wickets being the sticks with the bales on the top there, but also catching as well. So when the English side was getting onto the ball, they were getting onto the ball in such a way that they couldn't find the gaps in the fields. They couldn't effectively get it to the boundary past the fielders, the Australian fielders. And in a couple of the catches, we're basically just hitting straight to the players. So, and that's a testament, I think, to Captain Colgate, Pat Cummings, our captain, in how he actually set the field up too. I think he knew what the Brits were going to do with the balls they were being given, and he really had it locked down tight. So, I mean, a complete sweep. The British side really didn't know what hit them. And I think, to be honest, John, after that second test, so this third one was the one they won in, after the second test, we could really see the British were really struggling to get around the Australian fielding tactics and the Australian bowling tactics. So, you know what? You talked about the nastiness. Australia didn't need to use it that much. We had a little bit of body line in the first test where effectively Australia bowled at the batsmen, the British batsmen, just to scare them off. And maybe that's what contributed to it. But, you know, by this third test, this was just dead set normal cricket, and the Brits couldn't do anything about it.
And is Australia surprised by this sweep? Do you just nod and say we expected it? Are there any expectations for the Australia team? You're going to play again in 2 years in England. Is there any thinking about how Australia could strengthen its game? Because you won't always have everything fall your way.
Well, I think we like to always say that we expect it, John. We always expect to win because we're so good, as we like to think of ourselves. But the reality is, yes, the Australian team is surprised by just how easy the win was. But I think also in retrospect now, not surprised too, because we have an extremely strong Australian side now. A lot of these players are playing state level and also international level cricket in other competitions. They were always going to be a good mix, but I think the surprise for us was how good a mix they actually were against the British side. And you're right, now we have to maintain the motivation and the strength for the next 2 years until the next Ashes series. But the great news is we had a lot of debut players in this field. I mean, I mentioned Scott Boland, who was our star bowler in the third test. A lot of these players will be around in 2 years' time, so we'll effectively have the same team, which means the British will have to figure out a way to counter that. So they've seen our tactics. They've seen how strong we are. So we'll just have to wait and see now.
This is the verdict from the London Telegraph. This is the London paper reporting to the English audience an explanation of how badly it went. The Australian correspondent, this is Mr. Barry, the chief cricket writer for the Telegraph. He writes that, both in advance and hindsight, the single most influential factor in this series was always going to be Australia's superiority in fast bowlers. Taller, quicker, yet no less accurate than England's fast mediums. So, is this Mr. Barry coming to the same opinion you just voiced, that it was the bowlers that made the difference, not the fielders, not the batters?
Yes, absolutely. In fact, that's a very good point too with our raise about bowling. The taller a person is, the longer their arms are, the faster the bowler will be, because effectively, according to physics, if you have a longer arm to be able to throw the ball and you can run at a greater speed so you have longer legs, you can get the ball going down faster. And Australia does have a fast bowling side right now. The English have a few fast bowlers, but they mainly have spin bowlers, so they're much slower. They can move the ball around a bit, but not like the Australians, who can not only get the speed but can also get the ball to move around the pitch left and right, bounce and spin in very, very tricky ways. So he's effectively hit the nail on the head there. That's how we won it. It was really down to the bowlers, taking nothing away from the Australian batting side as well. And in fact, they did a phenomenal job, but the bowling team really got them this time around.
Well, that is a way for me to connect to the game, because it has long been said that baseball turns on pitching, 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 pitching. That's what wins games. Now, defense also wins games if you have a solid defense behind good pitching. But pitching will always dominate in the final contest, you know, the playoffs. Is that the same in cricket? I'm learning cricket here. The bowlers always win, the better bowlers.
That's exactly right, because without the bowlers, you can't have the game, because they have to deliver the ball. And the way that they deliver the ball will tell you how the batsman's going to react, whether they're going to get out straight away or whether they're going to hit it. almost exactly the same as baseball. The only difference is in baseball, the game is all out to the front of the batter and effectively in one sort of quadrant, whereas in cricket, it's a full 360 degrees around an entire field, so the ball can go anywhere. But the bowlers are the key to this game, and I think this has really, really exemplified that.
This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.